Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
What's up? What's happening? It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Of course, streaming live on YouTube if you like to watch us at the Team 980. Anthony, you and I have already talked to each other for an hour plus today. Well, I guess you weren't there for the whole time. You had some business you had to take care of. But earlier today, we did our fantasy draft. We'll review some of the highlights of the actual drafting and some of the jokes that were made at each other's expense. Coming up at, when is that? Later, like 6:30 today? So that's way later in the show. Our guy Noah Eagle is going to stop by for a little bit before he is off to Brazil to call the Packers-Eagles game on Friday. And we need your help at 4:30 with a segment that we are going to do every Wednesday here on the Team 980, which is Competition Wednesday. So we'll explain what we need. I would just say this. Be thinking of both punishments and rewards that would be funny for Anthony and I to have to suffer or get rewarded with on the radio. What's something that could be the stakes of a small weekly wager between the two of us?
Yes, very reasonable. Something, you know, that's not out of the ordinary.
Yeah. We will need 1 year long something. Yes. So if you want to think a little bigger, we can put that in the bucket, if you will. But we're going to need your help at 4:30. However, we're starting the show today with something that, Anthony, quite frankly, we have had in our back pocket since way before I left for France. This was something we thought of as a summer topic. And we kept pushing it off because there was stuff to talk about that I thought was more important and pertinent in every show since we thought about it. And finally, we get to a point where if we don't use it now, it's never going to happen. And I think this is actually the best time to do it, right before the season. The simple premise is this. What are the best and worst case scenarios for the Commanders this year in regards to some of their new additions? Now, let's remember, the Commanders are almost entirely new additions. They have more roster turnover than any other team in the NFL by a significant margin, by 5 or 6% on a 53-player roster. So there is a lot of different directions we could go here in terms of new players. But Anthony, I'll let you be the dealer here, dealer's choice. Who do we want to talk about first? It could be a veteran acquisition, but if it goes really well, this is what it looks like, and this is what it means for the team. If it goes really poorly, this is what it looks like, and this is what it means for the team.
I'll start off with the layup. Brandon Coleman.
Oh, wow. That wasn't the layup. That's at least like a Euro step.
Oh,
I figure if you're going to go on layup, you probably go with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But no, Brandon Coleman's a good one. He's an interesting one because I actually don't know that the swing is quite as wild. And that is, you know, because unlike some of these other guys we're going to talk about, there's a floor underneath Brandon Coleman, and that floor is named Cornelius Lucas, right? So if best case scenario, I think, is really actually impactful, not just in the short term, but the long term. The best case scenario for Brandon Coleman is he is, I think, not great, but in year one, a very solid left tackle with the potential upside to be great with some more experience. I highly doubt that a third round pick is going to come in with very limited training camp because of an injury and be incredible from day one, where all of a sudden we're like, man, this guy played at a Pro Bowl level and he's not, like, you don't get recognition as an offensive lineman probably till at least 2 years after you deserve it. It's just kind of the nature of the position. It's not one that people pay as close of attention to, and there's not counting stats to back stuff up in the way that you have receptions or rushing yards or touchdowns for other positions. But I think Brandon Coleman could, with his athleticism, when used properly, be really effective. Let's call it B+ across the board. That's a bunch of A games, maybe a couple of rookie moments against some tougher rushers. But B+ tackle play across the year, plays all 17 games, and most importantly, definitively says, this is my spot for the future. that in the future, you don't need to draft a tackle. You don't need to spend a first rounder on it next year. You can go draft a receiver, draft a right tackle if you want to, if you don't get a good play out of Wiley, or if you want to upgrade on Wiley. You can go draft an edge rusher. You can go draft a corner, whatever it is that they decide they need after the year. Not having to feel like you need a left tackle in next year's draft is the most important thing that Brandon Coleman can accomplish this year. By the other end of the coin, what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is he's so bad that he's unplayable. Lucas winds up coming in so you don't get Jaden murdered, and you have to go into next year needing the best tackle in the class. By the way, the guy who protected Jaden at LSU last year, the number one tackle on most people's boards is the left tackle at LSU. Now I'm forgetting his name, but that's the guy. And you have to hope that you get a high enough draft pick to get a really good quality tackle, which is really hard. I mean, you see, if you're drafting like 12, you might get the second or third tackle off the board, and you're certainly not getting the kid at LSU. So that would be the worst case scenario, is Coleman's future is as a backup, which for a third round pick wouldn't be heinous, but that his future is as a backup tackle, or you bump him inside to guard. And you come out of this season having played Cornelius Lucas a ton, which comes with its own limitations, and needing a left tackle in the draft next year. I think that's best case, worst case for Coleman. And for the team, it's the difference potential. Like, I actually don't know how much it swings it in terms of wins. Like, if Coleman's awesome, sure, it sets up a bunch of other pieces to play well to the point that you're talking about closer to 9 or 10 wins. But you could have Coleman be bad, Lucas be good, and still win 8 games. So I don't think the swing is as reliant on that position, even if the future could be massively defined by how he plays this year.
I think you covered majority of the bases.
That's my job, Anthony.
Yeah.
You toss him up, I just...
knock it out of the
boom!
Park. Or as Mike Breen would say, boom! Bang.
That really started more on a boing track than a bang track.
Okay.
Bang! unless we're gonna hit lefty today. We switch hitter. Boom! Were you a switch hitter growing up?
No. I stayed on one side of the plate.
You're righty?
I actually only played one year of baseball though, so.
Oh.
I don't know if that really counts.
No. I mean, it counts. Counts for that year.
Yeah.
I played a little bit more than that. But not, I didn't, like, ninth grade was the last year I played organized baseball.
Oh, eighth but grade for me.
I did mess around hitting lefty some. Good times.
I would say the next player. Are we going to get to another one here?
We're in awkward no man's land of clock management.
We are.
So tell you what. We'll do more best case, worst case next. But first.
Still to come on the Hoffman Show.
All right, here's what we got coming up at 4:30. We are going to do what we call Competition Wednesday because, well, for the Commanders this year, it's called Competition Wednesday. Every single Wednesday, they're doing competitive periods. They're finding ways to get extra competition into practice. And Anthony and I want in on the action. So we are going to pick some games against the spread every single Wednesday. And then obviously we will review the previous Wednesday's picks. And we need your help coming up with carrots and sticks, if you will. We're going to have a wheel that we spin that the winner gets to spin. And if it lands on a punishment, well, the loser is going to have to do the punishment. If it lands on a positive, a reward, then the winner gets the reward. We need your help in figuring out what goes on the wheel. So at 301-230-0980 at 4:30, or you can hop in the YouTube chat or you can tweet me. We want carrots and sticks, rewards or punishments for the weekly Competition Wednesday that Anthony and I are going to have. So start your brains thinking, and we'll talk to you about that in 15 minutes. More best case, worst case next.
The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Exploring the best case and worst case scenarios for a couple of key Commanders this year, and specifically some of the new additions. What would it mean for the team if the absolute best version of them showed up? What would that look like? What does it mean for the team? And then what about the other way? What happens if it all goes wrong? Anthony is tossing them up. I'm trying my best to knock him out of the park. Anthony, we hit Brandon Coleman first. Nice little leadoff double. What do we got now? Who's next on your list that we would like to explore?
All right. Next is Cliff Kingsbury.
You're just trying to, like,
we're going to save Jaden for last.
It's not even that. I didn't think coaches were on the table.
All right. Hey, look, we don't have to.
Look, I can make it quick. I can make this one quick.
All right,
look,
real quick.
If Cliff is at his best, then Jaden's going to have a really, really great rookie year. He's going to be in the mix for rookie of the year. This offense is going to score well over 20 points a game. Like, we're talking like 22 to 24 points a game. And he'll utilize, like, Terry's going to have a monster year. If Cliff is at his worst, they'll probably start fine. We'll see a bunch of promise, and then defense is going to catch on, and it's going to be a really rough December and January. That is the difference in this team winning 5 or 6 games or this team winning 10 or 11 games. So, yeah, the coordinator is important. The reason I don't think talking about the coordinator is that exciting in this exercise is that's every coordinator, yep, specifically every offensive coordinator in the entire league, whether they're new or not.
That's fair. All right, we're going to hard pivot. Jaden Daniels, your guy.
Okay, Jaden Daniels.
This one's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, this is not that different from any quarterback in terms of the importance to their team, right? If Jaden plays his absolute best, this team could win 10, 11 games. If Jaden does not play his best, then they're going to not win a lot of games. So that is the obvious team thing. As for what that actually looks like, because that wasn't very specific or insightful analysis, I think the best version of Jaden is one that is aggressive in pushing the ball down the field, continuously gives guys a lot of vertical shots, is on time regularly. He's not making a ton of plays off schedule because he doesn't have to. I think and that's specific to Jaden, right? Is he's not a guy that is going to have a long time to throw number. That's one of the numbers I'm going to be tracking for him this year. Is like, how often is he getting rid of the ball in under 3 seconds? And I want him to have one of the better rates in the league. One, I think schematically, to go back to Cliff and rope him back in, I think the screen game is going to be a big part of what they do, and that obviously brings that average down. But I also think Jaden doesn't need a lot of time to read the field. He's very, very good at processing things quickly. And even when he's aggressive throwing the ball down the field, he makes up his mind and he gets the ball out, which I think is ultimately a good thing. Because, for instance, I was watching a bunch of Baker Mayfield stuff this morning. I was watching all his deep throws last year. And there are times where he's really good at this, where he just is like, I'm going deep here. And he gets the ball out, and that middle field safety or even a cover two safety can't get to a ball on the sideline because it's thrown decisively enough, and that also saves pressure from being an issue. Well, Baker's accuracy left some to be desired, to say the least, and that's why Tampa is not a more potent offense and why Baker has been a little more hit or miss as a guy throughout his career, is that that accuracy can come and go for him in a way that I think the best version of Jaden is far more consistent. I think also, obviously, we'll see some of the middle of the field reading and some of the layering of throws that you didn't see as much in college because the game's going to demand that of him and he steps up to that plate. The worst version of Jaden Daniels this year struggles with all of that. Struggles with getting the ball out on time, it's a little muddy for him. I think the worst version of Jaden Daniels this year probably winds up running quite a bit because he just doesn't see it cleanly, and he's like, ah, screw it. And that still might be effective to a point, but I think there are diminishing returns there versus just getting the ball out quickly to the playmakers. It's one that probably falls a little too in love with Terry McLaurin, which I didn't think was possible after the ignorance of Terry the last couple of years in terms of OCs ignoring the fact that they have an incredible player on the outside. But I think he could overlock into him, and that could, you know, cause a couple of extra picks and turnovers. I think the worst version of Jaden probably takes more hits than you like. And if we're being honest with the repercussions of that, the worst version of Jaden probably doesn't finish the season. That's not the version I anticipate. And again, that version wins you 5-6 games. The best version wins you 10 or 11. And realistically, he'll probably be somewhere in the middle, and they win, you know, somewhere between 7 and 9 games. And Jaden hopefully progresses as the year goes and things just get cleaner and better and more efficient. And they do a good job of managing him, and the season gets to be called a success, whether they make the playoffs or not.
Dan, you got me excited for this season.
Let's go.
Next player I will want to do a best case, worst case on would have to be Mikey Saintristeel.
Okay, then we're going to get out of the rookie realm. There's two vets I want to talk about, and if you're not going to pick them, I will. I think you know who they are, though.
Yes.
Okay, Saintristeel. So here's... Let me ask you a question. Let me answer your question with a question. Is the best version of Mike Saintristeel playing inside and outside, or is he just owning the slot, snap in, snap out, you know, 70%+ of snaps that he plays? Because I think the best thing for the team is that he doesn't, right? The best thing for the team is that Forbes and BSJ are good enough that Saintristeel doesn't have to play multiple roles. That when there's two corners on the field, he just gets to rest. That he's not actually out there. Then he comes in nickel situations, which will be a lot. It will be the predominant number of snaps this year. He'll play more than he sits. As long as he's healthy, right? And I think the best version of that Mike Saintristeel is someone who creates, let's say, 5+ turnovers. Maybe it's 3 interceptions, a forced fumble in the field of play, and he gets a strip sack at some point blitzing off the corner. Right, it's a guy that you can rely upon in the run game as a corner to come up and make tackles and fit runs and make life miserable for offensive linemen that are out in space trying to get him. Like, you think you got him, nope, he slithers around you, and now all of a sudden he's making a tackle at the line of scrimmage. I think that's the best version of Mike Saintristeel, and one that continues to help everybody get organized, is a good communicator. I don't know that he'll be like team captain by the end of the year because there's too many other good vets around that he doesn't need to do that, but like, we all know that in the future, he's going to be that. He and Jaden are the two guys that are going to lead this franchise if they get where they want to go, like literally lead it. So I think the best version of Saintristeel, you know, for the team, you know, he affects winning. You know, if he really struggles, that could be an issue. But, you know, he's a corner. He's one or two games from best to worst. Realistically, how much does it change any particular outcome? But I think he'll make some game-changing plays, create some turnovers, and he doesn't get beat a lot, right? Like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, he's consistent on top of that. I think the worst version of Saintristeel in his rookie year is the game's a bit much for him, and he's got to figure out how to play at his size. That in the run game, teams are able to take advantage of him. They also figure out in the pass game that maybe some bigger receivers can hit certain routes on him, and he doesn't quite have the length to make up for it. Again, do I think that's going to happen? No, especially the latter. I think some teams will probably get him in the run game. He's a rookie. He's going to learn. It's hard. It's hard for the best nickels in the league. So it's going to be hard for him as a rookie, even if his compete level's, you know, 11 out of 10. But realistically, if we're doing best case, worst case, like, he gives up some big plays, especially in big spots. He's unreliable in coverage on third down when a lot of teams attack the slot, and teams take advantage of him in the run game. That would be the worst version of a Mike Saintristeel rookie season. I don't think that's going to happen consistently. I do think it'll probably happen some. Like, if we where's the middle of the reality? I think it probably happens some. But that's life in the NFL when you're a rookie. So as long as it gets better as the year goes, that's success for Mike Saintristeel.
I think if he starts the season strong in the slot, I would not be opposed to seeing him in two cornerback sets, just because he sort of kind of is asserting himself as our best corner. A lot of the best corners in the NFL, they're starting to play that star role or, you know, in the nickel. And then, like, in two cornerback sets, they go back to the outside. So if he wants to be like a Marlon Humphrey, a Kenny Moore, a Jalen Ramsey, a Jair Alexander, Marshawn Lattimore.
Most of those guys have size, though. That's the thing. He's so...
But Jair is a little small. Marlon Humphrey...
Jair's got length, though.
Yeah, he do.
So
and Marlon.
Yeah, so...
They're a little bit bigger.
They're definitely a little bit bigger. It's. I'm not telling you... The best thing for the team is obviously that St. Juice and Forbes are both excellent. But I don't think it's a terrible thing if he winds up playing out on the outside. If he's actually good at it. If he earns it, that he's really, really good, and they're not just doing it because it's like, he's better than these other two schmucks, then that's fine. And to be clear, I do not think that BSJ and Forbes are schmucks. I'm actually really excited to see what happens with them this year. All right, last but not least, who do you want, Wagner first or you want Ertz first?
I think we should go Wagner and actually go Ertz, then end with Wagner.
Okay, so the best version of Zach Ertz is a Pro Bowl tight end. And I know that might sound crazy, but like this dude in camp was killing people. He has a great rapport with Jaden Daniels. He was really effective in the red zone. And we're talking about a guy that, you know, has 65 to 80 catches, 7 or 8 touchdowns, is a consistent threat, and he stays on the field all year. The worst case is, let's be real, he gets banged up. He's never quite right. And he's just not that effective. That they try to get the ball to him in big spots. He can't separate. He can't get open. It's not there. And he's not offering you a lot as a blocker. And he's just kind of a veteran that's taken up a roster spot. And I think he'll be a good soldier. I think you know, where he's at this point in his career, like, if he realizes he don't got it, then, you know, we'll see what that means by the end of the year. But he came into this camp healthy. He looked phenomenal in camp. I think, I'm not saying that you're going to have 60 or 75 catches and 8 touchdowns from Zach Ertz, but like if you told me that he misses 3 games and if you extrapolate his numbers over 17 games, he would have had that, I'd believe that in a second. So I'm pretty pumped for Zach Ertz. And that, by the way, could be the difference in winning 9 games versus 6 games. Like he could be that important to this team. Third downs, red zone, etc. Bobby Wagner might have the biggest best case, worst case swing on the entire team. Best case scenario, he's still 90% of Bobby Wagner. He led the NFL in tackles last year. Could he do that again? Yeah, he did it last year. And then maybe they find ways to make sure that he can still do what he needs to do in coverage. And he's still a Pro Bowl caliber player. Maybe he's not all pro anymore. Maybe he's not the best. He's not Fred Warner, but like he's a damn good football player. The worst case scenario is he fell off the cliff and he's cooked. And again, am I predicting that? Nope. I don't want Bobby Wagner coming for me saying, I heard you said I was cooked. I didn't say that. I just said the reality is at this age of being a football player in the NFL, eventually you get to a stage where you can't do it anymore. And if Bobby Wagner gets to that and he's cooked, this team better hope that Jordan McGee is really ready to play a lot of football and that Bobby Wagner is an excellent quasi coach. Realistically, I think he'll probably be closer to the guy he was last year. I think he knows how to take care of his body. I think Bobby Wagner is a guy that will probably wind up retiring because he wants to, not because he has to. That would be my guess. He's definitely not A-plus Hall of Fame level Bobby Wagner anymore, but is he a top half of the NFL middle linebacker? Hell yeah, he is, or he was last year. So that's the best case scenario the most likely scenario for Bobby Wagner. And again, difference in, you know, a game or two from best case to worst case, probably in the win column. That's our best case, worst case, Anthony. We did it.
Loved it.
We did it. We waited months to do that.
We did indeed.
We hope that you enjoyed it. Okay, here's what we need next. We need your help. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Anthony and I are going to pick 3 games against the spread every single week in a little something we're going to call Competition Wednesday. And a nod to Dan Quinn's Competition Wednesdays. And we want to put some stakes on the line. We want to make it a real competition. So what should be a punishment for the loser and or a reward for the winner? We'll take your calls. And Anthony, it's Wednesday. We need to pick the actual games. So we'll do that over the next half hour here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We got a couple of comments in the YouTube chat, which I definitely is a good way to get your ideas in. Best way, though, is to call at 301-230-0980. So here's the deal. We are going to, on the show this year, have we're going to follow the themes of the Commander's Week. So every Monday at 4:30 after First and 10, we're going to do Tell the Truth Monday, where we let you call in and tell what you think is the truth about the Commanders. Because set you up, hey, tell the truth. I think that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think that they suck. I think that this was a good start. And anything goes. Tell the Truth Monday. 4:30s, nice and easy. Anthony, that one's very straightforward.
Very, very.
So then Tuesday, they're off on Tuesday. So Anthony, we're not going to work on Tuesdays.
Okay.
It's Wednesday. I guess we have to keep going. Just kidding. We're going to do our vibe check Tuesday because, I don't know, that would be funny. Call CK. That would be funny if we called CK from the hotline right now. Like, hey, we had an idea for Tuesday. Off day Tuesday, we don't come to work.
You think that will fly with the bosses?
No.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't I don't think so either. If you know, you know. All right, so Tuesday is going to be our vibe check Tuesday. How do you feel now with the day to process it all? Wednesday for the Commanders is Competition Wednesday. So what Anthony and I are going to do is have a competition. We are going to pick three games each week. Unlike our regular game picks that we do on Fridays where we pick the whole slate, we're going to pick three on Wednesdays against the spread. And then, because that's not like, okay, cool, we need some steaks, not like beef. Like, we need some potential outcomes to happen. So we're going to get ourselves a wheel, like Wheel of Fortune wheel, except for not that. But that'd be cool if we had a giant wheel. It's probably going to be a much smaller wheel. I'll spin it. It'll be like, tick, 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 tick. I wish I could do that faster. Anthony, can you make the sound effect of the wheel?
No.
No, you can't. We're going to, me neither. So what a bummer. Good thing we're going to have a real wheel. We're gonna have a wheel, and on it is going to have punishments and rewards. And whoever wins that week will have to spin the wheel, and then whatever it lands, if it lands on a reward, the winner gets the reward. And the loser is going to have to do one of the punishments, or is going to have to do the punishment if it lands on a punishment. So you might lose a week and kind of get away with it, and so something good happens to the other person. And if not, you might have to have something bad happen to you. Now, there is one standard prize that we have always kind of done on our show, Anthony, and that is lunch. So I think one of the standards should just be a kind of a risk, or a punishment and a reward. You have to buy the winner lunch.
Yeah, that's okay. That's pretty straightforward.
So we have lunch, which goes on both columns. And I don't know that we'll put it on there twice. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll put lunch on there twice because we're a simple show.
Yes, we are.
But everyone's had it. Everyone's bet lunch before. Nice and easy. And we'll do it at one of the neighborhood restaurants here in Navy Yard. Maybe we won't. Maybe I'll be like, Anthony, we're going to go on an adventure for lunch. If someone wanted to sponsor the show and host us for a day, Anthony can buy lunch if you buy the remote. You don't have to include the food. We can run a buyer sales team. Okay, so lunch, that's easy. The question is, what are the rest of the rewards and the punishments? I would love to get like four of each. I don't know how big our wheel is going to be. Our boss did say that he would. We think we have a wheel somewhere in the building. If not, he's going to buy us a wheel. So the wheel is happening. The wheel is happening, Anthony. So we need to fill it out. 301-230-0980. Anthony, before we go to some of the comments I have over here on the YouTube chat, do you have any proposals you'd like to put forth?
Yes. One would be, I feel like we're both fit people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be some kind of like some kind of strength challenge, or not necessarily a workout. That's what I'll say, that the other puts you through. So maybe it's like 100 push-ups, 50 pull-ups.
So you want to do like a full workout situation?
Burpees, like, yeah.
I would just make you take my class.
Well, that is, yeah. That wouldn't be fair to me, man.
The problem is like when it comes to workouts that are kind of painful, there's nothing worse that you could come up with that I don't put myself through. Especially as I'm about to sign up for High Rocks again next March. So I'm training between now and the end of football season. I'm training for a half marathon and High Rocks. That said, maybe smaller scale weekly punishment. J-World 1976 says, wear the winning team's jersey. That's one. Buy lunch. So we got that one. I want to revisit the jersey thing. Or 50 push-ups.
Well, I can knock out 50 push-ups easy.
That's what I'm saying. So, like,
it will have to be like 100 push-ups for me to make it, like, really challenging.
I mean, 50 would... I'm not saying it's easy, but, like, yeah, 100 push-ups. We're a fit enough show that we'll make it 100 push-ups.
All right, there it is.
But I think you have to do it, let's say, within the half hour.
Within a half hour?
So, like, if we're going to do the show... Like, if the segment is at 4:30 on Wednesdays, Competition Wednesday, do you have to do 100 push-ups by 5 o'clock? It can't just be, like, 100 push-ups randomly. Like, spin the wheel, you better get started.
What about... Show starts at 4, you have until 4:30 to have your 100 push-ups completed.
Well, no, because we won't reveal the winners, like who won the previous week, until 4:30.
Ah, okay.
So really it should be...
4:30 to 5?
It should be between 4, like when we break at like 4:42 and 5 o'clock.
Okay.
All right, so 100 push-ups. 100 push-ups. And basically it's like 100 push-ups as fast as you can, right? Yeah. That's really what we're getting after.
Yeah. Oh man, that's gonna be brutal.
All right, calls are not coming through, but we got some good ones on the chat. This one is like my personal nightmare, but Anthony wouldn't mind, which makes it both like tempting but also not fair. Ficapo Gondwe says, karaoke, loser sings, winner's choice. You don't mind karaoke. I hate karaoke. So it's not really a punishment for you. So I'm going to get off here
The song could make me not want to actually sing this. I probably wouldn't enjoy singing whatever song you choose.
I just...
Like, you know the song Missy Elliott, Milkshake?
Yeah, but
so
like
in my fantasy football league, that is the last place punishment. You have to sing that song. Yeah, I don't
want to do karaoke. It's okay. My show. I'm vetoing karaoke. It's a good idea, but because it's too much for a weekly potential.
Yeah.
This one's fantastic. And there's two versions of it. Tommy T says the winner switches out two players on the loser's fantasy team. And he says, or a starter. So I would say the way I would revamp it, the way I like it a little bit better, a little bit cleaner, is it, because remember, it's not guaranteed if you lose, this is it. You hit this on the wheel. I could, like, let's say I win and you land on that. I get to do a one-for-one player swap in our fantasy league and you don't get to veto it. Same thing going the other way, though. The other thing that's less punishment, a little bit more of a weekly flavor, is I get to make one substitution for you. Can't be a bye week. I can't sub like a player on a bye week in. But let's say you have a quarterback against a crappy defense, I can sub in your backup quarterback for that week. You get to do it to me too. I kind of like that.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. All right, not the playoffs.
Fantasy sub.
That would be brutal.
No playoffs. I think that's fair. All right. We got a couple good ones in the chat. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll pick our first three games, and we'll try to round out as many of these as we can. Next, it's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. All right. We are in the middle of our first competition Wednesday here on the Hoffman Show. Next week, we'll have a wheel. It'll have punishments and rewards on it. And whoever loses our three game picks that we're about to make against the spread. And we can pick anything, Anthony. I wrote down three NFL games, but I think you got a college game. We're not picking the same games, so we're in total control of our picks. But we got three picks. Whoever finishes with the better record, that person's going to spin a wheel. That wheel is going to have a list of punishments on it. We need to try to finalize our punishments by the weekend. So, Anthony, of course, we are eventually going to put this segment on demand on YouTube, and I'm sure we'll get a bunch of comments. So maybe we can finalize the list tomorrow during Never Read the Comments. I'll make sure I get this up as soon as I can after the show. But so far, we have winner buys loser, or loser buys winner lunch. Loser has to do 100 push-ups. The winner gets to make a unchallenged sub on the loser's fantasy team. Only a couple of stipulations there. We don't need to get too detailed into it. And then we'll take a couple more ideas. YouTube chat is balling right now with good ideas. Take calls at 301-230-0980. Let me see if I have any tweets. Has anybody tweeted? Let's see. Someone said 50 push-ups. So, yep, we got that. Which is funny because he's like, the loser gets swole at the end of the year. So you're really not even losing. Just get your push-up game on. But we said, no, we are a fit show. 100.
Yeah. Easy work.
100. Okay. Other ideas from the YouTube chat. Oh, that's a good one. Loser has to take an ice bath.
That is a good one because, oh my gosh.
Rachel literally just texted me. She's I guess, listening/watching today. She said cold plunge, ice bath. I wonder if she got that off of the YouTube chat or did she have the same idea at the same time as Andrew in the chat.
That's a really good
one. I love that one. Do you have a place to do an ice bath?
At Georgetown Prep.
You do? You have an actual cold plunge at Prep?
Well, we have a little silver, what are those things called?
I mean, some places just do it in trash cans.
Well, we have one at Prep is what I'm telling you. It's a little silver, little bucket.
Rachel just, she also said, I would smoke y'all. I can confirm. Having done a cold plunge at a place up in Bethesda with she's a killer, man. But it's okay. She's not picking games, so we don't have to worry about that. Ice bath, we'll have to pick a time. 3 minutes, 5 minutes. We have an actual tub in our condo, so like I could just get a bag of ice and do it. We'll figure out the details. But yeah, I love that. Ice bath on the list. 100%. We'll take like video / audio to make sure that people can experience the hilarity of it. We'll figure out all the details. Most of these I would like to be able to do on the air, but that one's too good to pass up. Yeah. Ice bath is definitely on the list. All right. Doug had a bunch of ideas. Eating a spoonful of something unpleasant like horseradish. I'm kind of out on that.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Wearing a silly outfit that's mascot related to one of the NFL teams that made you lose. Doug, I love your idea. We don't have the budget for that. talking in an accent or a voice for a segment. Don't challenge me with a good time. Also, Anthony's accents are...
I'm very limited.
You had a really good one of something last week. I wish I remember what it was. Any idea?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Other person.
Oh, it was the lady that had hit my car.
Oh, yeah. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good time. It wasn't a good time for Anthony. Other person gets to whip cream the other in the face. No. That's like a little violent.
At the end of the show.
Wham. Whip cream pie.
Yeah. You get a little plate. So at my school, when I was in college, we used to do $1 pies and you used to get pie.
It feels messy.
I think you would save it for the end of the show. But.
You're right. Loser takes a paintball shot. Y'all are brutal. Doug also said do the hot chip challenge. That feels like more of a if you lose the season type deal. Like a hot wing style.
Yeah.
Something.
Or they could be like a... never mind. I was thinking of something. I don't have anything.
Okay. Are you sure? Whatever was just going through your head?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so here's the deal. If you're listening live, you can hit us in the YouTube chat. Or you can tweet us, or you can send me an email. You can whatever. We're going to try to finalize this by 5:30 tomorrow when we hit never read the comments. But if you're watching this later on demand, aka it's not right now 4:53 p.m. on Tuesday, or sorry, on Wednesday, September 4th. Below, that means you're watching it on YouTube. Below, leave a comment with your ideas, punishments, rewards, and we'll try to. We could also evolve it. Like if you're finding, if it's November and somehow you just found this video that used to be a live radio show that has been turned into a video, and you have a great idea, leave it in the comments. And we can change up our wheel if we get new good ideas, Anthony. But I like where we're at. We have four really good ones so far. Now we just need to put them into action here. It's time to pick our first Competition Wednesday slew of games.
Let's get it, man.
All right. You want to go first?
Do I need to say all three of my games?
Joe, just go one at a time in case we have the same game.
All right. I'm gonna start on the college ranks.
Okay, we definitely don't have the same game on this one.
So Colorado, they're set to play Nebraska this weekend, and they are underdogs by 7.5. So I'm expecting this to be a closer game. Really, I'm expecting Colorado to pull off the upset.
Mm.
So I'm going to go Colorado plus 7.5. And even if they lose by 7, that half saves me. So.
Okay.
I'm going Colorado. 7.5.
Colorado plus 7.5. Okay. My first pick is going to be a rookie NFL quarterback debut.
Jaden Daniels.
It is not Jaden Daniels.
Caleb Williams.
I think Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears, are going to beat the Tennessee Titans by more than 4 points. They are 4-point favorites. I think the hype in the building. I don't really like Tennessee's roster, even though I like their coaching staff and like believe they'll figure it out long term. I think Chicago's defense is also really good and could cause Will Levis to have like 3 turnovers, 2 picks, a forced fumble, whatever. And I think Chicago could win in a blowout. So I'm taking Chicago. I'm going to try not to pick too many favorites because that's a way to lose a lot of money gambling. But I'm going to go, or in this case, have to spin a wheel of minor pain on a weekly basis, and then a wheel potentially result in major pain at the end of the year. We still need to figure out our season-long thing, too. But yeah, Chicago, they're 4-point favorites. I don't care. Take the points. Chicago over Tennessee.
I love that one. I'm not going to lie. My second one, I have another dog in the fight. This is on the NFL ranks.
Okay.
I'm going Baltimore to upset the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow in NFL's season opener.
How many points are you getting with that?
+3.
Okay.
+3.
All right. So Ravens, +3. You're taking the Thursday game. I'm going to take the Friday game.
Okay.
Green Bay. This one scares me because, like, I don't know how either team plays in Brazil. But you got Green Bay. They're 2.5-point dogs against Philly. I think I like Green Bay better than Philly. I know Philly's really talented, but just the vibes are bad. Green Bay, I believe in what they're building. I'm going Green Bay plus +2.5 against Philly Friday night in Sao Paulo. By the way, speaking of that game, Noah Eagles calling it. He joins us at 5:30. Last one, Anthony.
Last one. I'm not going to lie, Craig. You stole one of my beats, but it's okay. It is okay because I'm going to pivot, and I'm finally going to take a
We can pick the same game.
Oh, we can?
Yeah, we can pick the same game.
Oh, I did have GB Green Bay plus 2.5.
Oh, you had Green Bay plus 2.5 as well?
Yeah.
Okay. My last one then is very Van Pelt of me. New England's an 8.5-point dog at Cincinnati. Cincinnati could be really good. New England could be absolutely terrible, and I hate them as a football operation, which is why I'm taking the Patriots plus 8.5.
Wow.
It's a big number.
Really big number.
Jacoby Brissett's a professional quarterback. And yeah. Cincinnati's got enough questions on defense, and we don't know if Ja'Marr Chase is playing. So there's a chance that by Friday, that number's a lot smaller. That number's 6.5 by Friday. I've got it on Wednesday at 8.5. I get to keep my 8.5. I'm taking New England plus 8.5.
All right, that's a bet.
Boom! All right, that's our first Competition Wednesday. We'll see how we did next Wednesday. We'll try to finalize tomorrow during Never Read the Comments. Our punishment, if you have any other ideas, let us know in the comments. When we get back, we started off the show best case, worst case for the Commanders this year. We had Logan chime in on that on Take Command, and we'll play you those thoughts but from the big fella next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.